Thank you. This is Tony Norman, chair of the Pacifica National Board. We have a this is a special meeting called on behalf of several PNB members. Who's calling the roll?
Serene.
Yes, could you
Grace
call?
Sure. Grace Aaron, KPFK.
Here.
Jonathan Alexander, KPFK.
Here.
Wesley Bethune, KPFT.
Here.
Jim Brown, WPFW. Adriana Casanave, KPFT.
Here.
Bill Crozier, KPFT.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. Jan Goodman, KPFK.
Both ask for excused absences.
I know, but we'll get to what we do excuse that. That's so called. Janet Colburn, KPFA. Tony Norman, WPFW.
Present.
Michael Novick, KPFK.
Present.
Afia Wangaza, WMXP. Venetia Patel Adams, KPFT.
I'm here.
Ron Pinchback, WPFW. Shireen Roberts, WBAI, is present. Nancy Thornton, WPFW. Temba Shibanda, Uhuru Radio.
Uhuru.
Margie Wilkinson, KPFA. We have quorum.
Okay, who are those that request an excused absence?
Margie, Jose Luis, Jan Goodman.
And also, I think, Janet Colbert.
I didn't see the email, sorry.
Didn't see the email either.
She mentioned it to me.
Oh.
Okay, is there a motion to excuse the vote on approval of the excused absences? Hello? Any motion to excuse the absences?
So moved.
Okay. Serene second.
Any objection to those individuals being excused? Without objection, so approved. Can we get some timekeepers? Who wants to be our issue subject matter and individual timekeepers?
I can be a timekeeper.
I prefer to.
Miss Bill, Venetia. I can just do, unless you want to rotate around and get different people.
Venetia, you said what you would do what part?
I can do items.
Items? Anybody want to keep the individual?
Miss Bill, I can do it.
Okay, 90 seconds per person. Okay, do we have a... I didn't see a public agenda. Do we have a proposed agenda or recommendations for an agenda in front of it?
Yeah, it's emailed. We're just going to discuss... I emailed it to everybody a little after the meeting was due to start, actually, because I thought I'd send it out earlier, but I don't know. Sent out the exact...
Proposed agenda.
8:37. What?
Let me check. I didn't...
Yes, I receive it.
Is John Amila supposed to be on the call to answer questions?
I did not request his presence.
Sure. Okay, we're going to, I got it.
I'm sorry, point of information, did you say that you were not going to need John on the call tonight? Because he's sort of waiting to know one way or the other.
I mean, if he's available, I think we should have him if he can speak to some of the issues related to what we have.
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
I definitely think it would be useful to have him on the closed session. I didn't know that he was available. I didn't get that from what I saw, but that's great. I don't think we necessarily need him to join for this discussion, which is how the money is going to be applied, because that's not a technical issue. That's a policy issue.
Well, I think we should have somebody from staff that may want to speak to some of these issues. I don't know if Lydia is going to be here or...
Lydia had indicated that she last week that she was not going to be able to make tonight's meeting, but I don't understand why we would need John to be on the call in order to discuss the policy about how the rents are going to be applied.
This is Grace.
I'm sorry.
Grace?
Yes. I just sent an email to the PNB. I haven't gotten in my in-basket yet. But I have a number of questions about sidebands and SCAs. And
before we get to that, we got to get an agenda adopted. I mean, we're getting a little sidetracked. So do we have a motion to adopt the proposed agenda?
I would add something to the proposed agenda, and that would be an explanation and an answer of questions about sidebands.
Okay, let's get the agenda in front of us, and then we'll take amendments.
Okay.
Okay, somebody want to move the agenda and get it seconded?
I did, Serene.
And was there a second?
I seconded.
Okay, and then I think we had, was that Grace? Yeah.
Yeah.
Old customers have.
Yes,
okay,
Grace, you have amendment?
Yes, I'd like to add an agenda item at the as the first item, and that would be an explanation of sidebands and SCAs and an answer to questions about what they are and how they work. I have some questions that I sent to the PNB, but I don't think anybody's gotten it yet because I haven't for some reason.
This is Serene.
Well, first of all, is there a second to this amendment to add an explanation on the? Could you submit that in writing? Is there a second?
This bill, I'll second, and I did get it in writing, emailed it.
Okay. You want to briefly motivate that, and then we'll take back.
Well, just that
point of personal privilege, Mr. Chair, can we ask the people that are not on the speaking to mute? It's a lot of noise.
Could everybody mute their phones? And timekeeper, we have 30 minutes to deal with the agenda. I hope you're keeping up, starting the clock. Okay. Yes, we. Grace, did you want to briefly motivate, and then we'll take a stack?
Yes, I have to say that I am only slightly familiar with sidebands, so I'd like to have it explained what they are, how they're accessed, what the demand for them is. So I'd like that to be, I think that would be valuable to start this discussion. Well, we can't talk about something we're not really familiar with, or some of us are ignorant about, and I'm certainly an ignorant person in this regard. So I'd like to have that be the first thing on the agenda. And if possible...
This is Serene.
If possible, I think John L. Mella probably would be the best person to answer the questions. And if not John, maybe Otis could answer some of the questions.
Patel Adams would also like to get on.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
What's your point of order, Adriana?
I'm trying to keep up with a minute, but it's very important that people send their motion in writing, because if not, it's impossible. The motion keep coming, keep changing in the meantime that they're being made. Please send the motion in writing. Thank you.
Could everyone send their amendments and motions in writing? Grace, did you finish your motivation?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we're taking a stack. We have Serene. Are you speaking in favor or against this?
I'm merely pointing out that the description of the sidebands is on page 2 of the agenda, and sidebands have been in use for since 1984, I think, in Pacifica. So I would think anyone who's been on the national board or certainly worked in the national office would know. But I have absolutely no objection to John coming on to explain what's there in writing and whatever else he'd like to add. And since Otis is on the call, you know, if he would like to do, that's fine. But let's just save time. I don't object to him being here since people aren't familiar with what we're talking about. I thought we'd just raise this before, but anyway. So can we just, like, move forward?
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this amendment?
Okay. Alexander, KPFK, speak for. I just agree with what's said. I think John is really an expert on this. It would be helpful to me, and I've been working in this for a while, just to get us informed, and we could just move the discussion along. It might save us some time in the long run. And John's a pretty quick and concise talker. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else speaking to this? Okay, is there any objection to adding this amendment, which is to add an explanation at the beginning of the agenda? How much time would you want on that, Grace?
I would say probably 7 minutes. I sent the motion around, by the way.
Okay.
If you'd like to read it, I can.
Okay, 7 minutes. I think you listed it, unless any other board members want to hear it read, then we'll just proceed. Could someone notify, I guess Otis is already on the call, if somebody could call, I mean, or not call, but at least notify John O'Malley.
Yeah, John can
call in.
John said he could text him or something.
He could text in or what?
No. John Alexander said that he was in touch with John Almella, who is available to us.
Oh, yeah. Could you, but while we're waiting, to save time, if you could just let him know to call in, Jonathan?
Sure, no problem. I'll do it right now.
Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? There was no objection to adding that item to the agenda. Is there any other amendments to the agenda that we have? Okay, is there any objection to adopting this agenda as amended? Okay, no objection to adopting this amendment. We're now, the agenda is adopted. We'll now proceed to the first item, which is to explain sidebands. I guess we can hear from Otis and then Jonathan. Not Jonathan, I'm sorry, John O'Mello. Is Otis on the line? Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now. Give me just another 2 minutes.
I just forwarded him the email also with the number and code.
This is Grace. While we're waiting for John, can I just state my three questions besides a general explanation?
If you were going to ask him the questions, why would you read them now?
All right. I can just wait.
But we can't wait in silence.
Okay, I'm sorry. Chair, he has, I sent him a text and as well as forwarded him the call-in information, but I haven't received a reply yet. As I said before, he may be traveling. He was traveling from New Jersey when I spoke with him a while ago.
Okay,
we could just read what's on page 2 and see if that helps anybody.
You want to read that, Serene?
Yeah, I mean, there's a short description of it. It comes from the Pacifica Financial Policy and Procedures Manual under SCA Incomes. It says, some of Pacifica's radio stations have SCA. SCA here meaning Subsidiary Communications Authority. They have SCA channels as part of their broadcast license. These channels are sometimes leased to program providers or subcarriers who broadcast subscription-based radio programming or data services to their listeners or clients. The national office enters into multi-lease agreements with its subcarrier tenants, and rent payments are submitted to the national office. Income from the leases are recorded at the national office and are allocated to various stations for special projects as needed and approved by the board. This is from a policy manual that I think is probably about 6 years old.
Okay, this is Grace.
Yes, I heard someone come on. Is that John O'Mella? It's not. Yes, great.
No, that was Michael. I got knocked off. I had to call back in.
Okay. Okay, yes, I did see that explanation. However, I have questions that are not explained with that in that text. And they're just simply, how is a sideband station accessed by listeners? Are they on the FM band or another radio band? And how much does it cost Pacifica in money and resources to provide access to these stations? And can someone explain the market for SCAs? What type of broadcaster is interested in sidebands? Is this market growing or shrinking with the expansion of internet radio? Those are the questions that I have off the top of my head. In other words, if I want to listen to one of these stations, how do I do it? Do I use my radio? Do I use the internet? Do I use shortwave? How does it work?
Bill, the stack.
Okay, yes, Serene, and then we have Bill.
Okay, so there's a special radio. People have them. A lot of the programming tends to be foreign language programming, but it's not only foreign language programming. I know, for example, that in New York, there are a number of Haitian subcarrier stations, and you can, it's a little adapter that you put onto your radio, although there is one company in the tri-state area that actually makes sideband radio, so everything is built in. Otherwise, you get this little switch. You can get it installed in your car, at least the older cars. These days with new cars, I don't know. Or, like I said, you can have your regular, not the huge jukeboxes that the guys used to walk around with, but the much smaller ones, the personal size, maybe about 9 inches wide and 4 inches deep. And you can switch it to each frequency depending on which of the subcarrier stations you want. So it's not a matter of being on the FM band. It's not it's a sort of a sidekick, and I'm sure someone can do this better. It's sidebands, literally. We have our primary station, and then we have, at least in New York, we have two side subcarrier stations. I don't know what the cost is to Pacifica. I don't know if you want to say how much it costs. I don't have an actual number, but I don't imagine that there's significant cost in utilizing the sideband. There is some maintenance that has to be done and maybe more power costs. I don't know. Somebody else would have to answer that question. And in terms of the market, I can't really speak to that with any authority, but I will say it's very popular here in New York. And I've heard, many languages being spoken, and there's also some English language programming on some sidebands.
Yeah, Bill.
Well, Shereen said most of what I was going to say. It is on the FM band. There's sidebands to the regular FM carrier. So if the main transmitter goes off the air, then this goes off the air also. I mean, that's not something mm-hmm. to know. But as Serene said, you can buy your separate little SCA radio or an adapter for some radios anyway. And it's somewhat analogous to HD because HDs are also have sidebands on top of your FM the FM signal, but that's takes a different kind of radio to get the HDs. And the HD quality is actually better than SCA. That may be one reason why there may be a little less interest in SCA now, but it's still around. People still use it. And you're right, Jerice, there is also more people are using internet radio. And, you know, I think SCA used to be used, for example, even for elevator music, that kind of thing. And my assumption is that's not being, they're not using SCA for that anymore. But as Serene said, there's also interest in foreign language and reading for the blind and other kinds of services using SCA.
Okay. Is Mella, did Mella make the call? I guess we're still waiting. Well?
Yes, I'm still waiting. Mr. Chair, if I could have the floor for a moment, I can speak to the cost.
Sure.
Cost, as she said, is very negligible. Essentially, it's the same cost as what's running. I got a message from him. He says he'll be here in 3 minutes. I sent it to him. Oh.
Can someone just...
I have no capacity to call. Somebody has to send him the code.
Can someone just three-way him?
I can try that. Well, he says he'll call us in 3 minutes.
Okay, while we're waiting, Jonathan, you were explaining something.
Yeah, I was just saying... Essentially, there's not very much extra cost because, as Bill said, if we go off the air, then they go off the air. We've been talking a while about just trying to increase revenue from it. A lot of those sideband stations, however, are able to generate quite a bit of revenue themselves because they're commercial.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to that while we're those questions that Grace had while we're waiting for John Armella?
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
I actually don't want to speak to that, but I would like to put the motion on the floor because we're running out of time.
Okay. What's the motion you want to put on the floor?
Okay, so the motion is on page 3 of the agenda. And it's kind of long, so I would rather summarize it rather than read it, if that's okay with folks.
Okay.
Okay, so basically we have the SCA money that goes into National, and it offsets, well, it reduces the National need, right, from the stations because it's taken off the top. So let's, for example, say that our budget were $500,000 for the National office and the SCA income in total was $200,000. That, the difference of $300,000 is what would then be the central service payments from the various stations. So that in effect, those stations that have significant income, any income, but certainly significant income from their SCAs are lowering the cost that all the stations will have to share. The proposal is still that all the money still goes to National. We're not changing that in any way, but we are saying that each station should get...
This is John.
Hi. What do you want to do, Tony?
Just finish explaining what you're doing, and once we get the motion on, or we'll go to Jeff.
Okay. So what happens now is that, as I said, the SCA income comes in, and then it reduces for everyone the amount that has to be divided. The proposal is to still have the money go to National, but to have stations get credit for the SCA income that their antennas are generating, because there's a cost associated with having your antenna, and that they should be able to offset the cost. So let's say the National budget is $500. What we would do is to do the assessment among the five stations for that $500, and then for each station, you would get credit individually instead of as a block, get credit individually for the monies that their sidebands are generating, since they're paying, you know, the rent and so forth for that antenna from which the sidebands are utilized.
Okay, let's get the motion on the floor. You're making that motion. Is there a second?
Point of information. This is John. It's a subcarrier. It's not a sideband. Sideband is a misnomer.
Okay. We're going to get to you, John, to give us an explanation breakdown once we...
Absolutely.
Serene, you made the motion. Was there a second?
Adriana, second.
Did everybody get the motion?
It's part of your agenda.
Okay, let's go to, we'll go to John, and then we'll get back to let Serene do a brief motivation. But first, let's hear from John. Could you explain to us about what sideband is? And I don't know if you got the
question. It's actually a subcarrier.
And did you, let's start off with Grace's three questions, and then we can guide into it that way. I don't know if you heard her question.
Yeah, I saw the questions. Okay. So how they're accessed by listeners, you have to have a radio that can receive. A regular radio cannot receive a subcarrier. So you would need to buy, they're usually about $25 if you buy them, like, in bulk. They're more expensive ones that will allow you to tune in more than one subcarrier. The cheap ones are basically fixed on one subcarrier and one frequency. So it would be like fixed at the factory to receive, let's say, WBAI, the 67 kilohertz subcarrier.
Are there any questions to John?
And yes, do you want me to continue on they're on the FM band, but they're actually an AM modulated part of the FM. You really have to kind of understand the difference between amplitude modulation, which just the RF gets louder and softer, and that's how you modulate the audio. And FM, which the actual frequency shifts a little bit lower and higher, and that's how you modulate the audio. So this is actually on the AM stage, and then the carrier is modulated on these different subcarriers, the stereo generator, RDS, which can provide information about the station name if you have a RDS subcarrier generator, and the pilot tone. So those are all mixed together with the audio, and then the main frequency is modulated on it. Right? So the subcarriers are not a sideband of the main frequency. They're actually a subcarrier in the AM stage of the broadcast.
So what's the difference between a sideband and a subcarrier?
Well, a sideband, if you're talking about HD radio, that's actually a sideband. That's actually off the main frequency. It's to the left and the right of the main frequency of, you know, HD radio. Is actually a sideband, as opposed to the subcarrier is actually on the main frequency.
Okay. Any other questions to John?
Do you want me to continue down this list? How much does it cost specific in dollars and resources to provide access to the subcarrier clients?
I'm sorry. Point of order.
What's your point of order, Serene?
So John should be reminded that this is an open call.
Okay, yes.
John, okay, but we're just talking about there's probably some electrical costs. It's not very much, I don't think, because the subcarriers are using maybe a 10% of the broadcast power. that's needed to broadcast. So they're using about 10%. And how this works is that if you're using 10% of the broadcast tower and you have one subcarrier on it, the FCC allows you to go 10% over. So you kind of get it in a sense. You don't lose even the slightest bit of signal for that first subcarrier. So the cost is minimal. The engineers service the subcarriers, and there's usually not very much service unless there's a problem, and there usually aren't that many much problems. So, you know, the equipment, there's a layout for equipment. Most of the subcarrier clients provide their own equipment, and they provide their own means of getting the audio from their studios to the transmitter site. So I think that whatever cost is minimal.
Anything else you want to go through, or do you want to add anything else to the...
Okay, but the next question is about the market for subcarriers. There used to be a really good market before the internet. Now there isn't, there really isn't very much of a market. And what type of broadcaster is interested in subcarriers? The markets are usually, they're narrow. It's a narrow market. It's a niche market. Like you're doing it for one audience. You wouldn't do it for a broad audience because you'd have to sell the radios, and most people aren't going to shell out $25 or more for a radio that will sound, it's, that sounds a lot worse than AM. So, and the market's been shrinking. So usually a lot of the subcarriers are for, could be for religious programmers whose audiences are older maybe and are do not have internet connections or unable to listen on their computers for whatever reason. Possibly foreign language broadcasts that have no access to other, you know, they're not going to be able to rent a cable channel to send their audio over on their cable TV network. So it's audiences that don't have entities that don't have a whole lot of money at this point. Let me go back to the questions and see if I've added them all. Is it a growing or shrinking market? It's a shrinking market. Anybody have any other questions, or is there anything that I haven't explained adequately at this point?
This is Grace. I have another question.
Yes, Grace.
Sure, what is time, by the way, Chair?
Okay, what is our capacity to add on subcarriers? In other words, is it infinite? Is it limited?
Yes, Venetia, when you say time, what time, what are we, you mean for the meeting, or...
No, I'm sorry, for the first 7 minutes for the explanation.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay, yes. Grace.
Can I ask to add 3 minutes to this discussion first?
Is there any objection to adding 3 minutes to this discussion? Okay, yeah, Grace, your question, John.
My question is... do we have unlimited ability to add subcarriers, or is it limited? Like, can we only have 10? Could we have 150? Could we have 100,000? What's our capacity to add on subcarriers?
The FCC only licenses us for two subcarriers per per radio frequency, FM frequency.
Okay.
There's a 67 kilohertz subcarrier and then 89 kilohertz subcarrier.
Okay, I'd like to ask another question about that.
I'm sorry, 93. Yeah, okay. Sure. Well, it's up to...
Okay,
yeah.
Tony, is that okay?
Sure, yes.
Okay, at KPFK, we also broadcast in Santa Barbara on another frequency and in China Lake on another frequency. Does that give us six subcarrier potentials?
Yes, I guess you could, but when you're talking about a translator or a booster frequency, the booster, you would have to broadcast them separately. They wouldn't be on, the main channel would not pick it up and repeat it. So you would need new hardware and probably a translator. It's going to be at 10%, it's going to be your coverage is going to be marginal, because if you're only talking about, 100 or 200 watts, 10% of that is 20 watts. That's not going to go very far. So it probably doesn't really make sense. I'd have to check that with our engineers, but my guess is it won't really make a whole lot of sense. You won't get much coverage from a translator subcarrier.
Okay. Thank you.
And this bill, I'd like to be on the stack.
Yeah.
Okay. Point of order.
Yes, Doreen.
Okay. We have a closed session coming up, and we have a motion that we need to discuss. So we're already actually over time from what was expected. I would like us to move forward. I mean, if Bill has one question, that's fine, but,
We'll see. We had an extension of 3 minutes, so if we still got, we'll run that 3 minutes out and then move on.
But we only have 20 seconds left.
Okay, Bill, ask you a question.
Well, I was going to ask when we can talk about the motion, because we haven't been able to discuss the motion at all.
Well, we're going to get to the motion.
Is there no time for that?
John Amello.
Okay, I'll wait till we get to the motion then.
Okay. So now we're going to go back to the motion. Serene is going to briefly motivate it, and then we're going to take a stack. Serene?
Okay. So the motivation actually is contained, I think, within the first two paragraphs, and I will just read them. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to amend the motion to change sidebands to subcarriers throughout. I think it's mentioned about four or five times. Do we need a second for that?
Is there any objection to changing those from sidebands to subcarriers? Without objection, we're changing that in the language.
Okay. So, SCA income, I informally referred to as a station's subcarrier rental, is currently applied to the national office budget before individual stations' monthly central services payments, or shared services, are assessed, and therefore it has the effect of reducing the overall amount due to the national office from the stations. We are a family of stations and should collaborate with and support each other. However, the present application of SCA income obscures the contributions of individual stations and deprives individual stations of the ability to use the subcarrier rental to offset sometimes significant cost of using the space where the station's antenna or transmitter is located. So, for example, WBAI, and I won't use specific numbers, but I'll say this, WBAI has two subcarriers that are in use, and the Empire State Building would like to get $50,000 a month. The income that's generated from those subcarriers should benefit WBAI and not everyone, which is what's happening now. Similarly, there are other stations where, as you guys know, that the income is a significant amount, at least in terms of our budget, and stations, that station, for example, is actually subsidizing other stations. And it's fine if we need to do something for a particular station. But we should be clear about what the numbers are. And the way that the payments are currently applied, it is not clear. And I know there will be some confidentiality, some issue around, you know, depending on where you place the numbers in the budget, you might be saying a great deal about what a particular contract is. And I think that, you know, the Finance Committee can be trusted to go find a way to keep private information private. But stations should get the benefit of the income that they're generating.
Okay, we'll take a stack.
Bill.
Yes, Bill. Anyone else?
Okay, well, you know, in some ways, yes, it would be nice if the stations could keep the money that comes, that at least originates from the SCA transmitter on, that they have. But right now, the national office is existing almost completely or largely on SCA revenue and affiliates revenue, because so many of the stations aren't paying central services or they're way behind on central services. So I think the first priority obviously needs to keep the national office and PRA alive, however we can do it. And right now that means we need the SCA revenue to go there. And secondly, this was discussed at a NFC meeting a while back, a few weeks ago. And so if some of you who are on the National Finance Committee, can you explain why the NFC voted this down? Because I know that I remember they were, the majority of the NFC was opposed to this, thought it was a bad idea.
I'll just brief. I'm on the NFC, but as I understand it, we wanted to know more about the impact of the finances and what it meant. As I understand it, that's why the NFC had reservations about it. Just the financial impact. At that time when it came before the Finance Committee, we didn't know how much money was coming in, how much coming in from each station, and that sort of thing. So we needed a financial impact and what was the meaning and the effect of, if we voted for it, what would be the effect of it in terms of a breakdown in terms of finance? That's what I understood the reservations to be.
Adriana,
yes, you're on the Finance Committee. You can speak to it.
Let's sit in a plane and I will go after her.
Yes, three.
Okay, so one thing I want to make clear, because apparently Bill misunderstood it. The money is not going anywhere different. It is still going to the national office. And the national office, which, you know, relies entirely on central services and the money from the affiliates, will still be in that position. And they will still get the same amount. They will just get it from different parties. If, for example, in addition to its central services, a station is generating, you know, let's say $60,000 a month, $60,000 over the course of a year for the use of a subcarrier. That particular station's central services should be reduced, not in terms of the total amount that gets into national, but how it's apportioned. Stations need to get the credit for the monies they're generating, and other stations may need to pay more in order to keep the central service formula working. But why should station A, probably a bad example since we have a KPFA, but anyway, why should station A, you know, silently, quietly subsidize, you know, station C?
Okay, well, can I follow up then?
First we'll hear from Adriana, then we'll go back to you with a follow-up. Adriana, yes.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, our LSD KPFT, we discussed the issue, and I think that was very clear. Our general manager, our business manager, and the whole LSD agree with this issue, because as Serena said, the money keep going to the national office. Nobody is saying that the money will go to the station. That is not what we are saying. What we are saying is just a problem of something that is just. I mean, the station that generate the income should be credit for the income that they generate. We are not saying that they will take it and the station will do. No, we keep going to the national office. But makes sense that this station contribute, with listeners, it's the same situation. We contribute, every station contribute to the national office. We have a percentage, but we count our revenue. And why in this case will not be part of the revenue that the station is generating? In KPFT, in the case of KPFT, are $36,000 a year that is being produced for the I'm sorry, but I keep saying Saiban, subcarrier. And I think that it's just fair that will be allocated to the station that produced the income. If not, doesn't make any sense. Why some station will produce income that is not being counted as income that they produce for the foundation? I believe that this is exactly like with the rest of the revenue. We'll keep receiving it, the national office will keep receiving it, and I think that is some of the stations that are not sending even their payments, at least this money can be counted as part of the debt that we said that they have from before. I believe that
okay,
this
is... You're over time.
Okay.
Thank
Adriana, you want to wrap up a statement? You're out of time. Your closing statement.
No, that's the only thing that I want to say. It's just fair. Allocate the money to the station that produces it. The national office will keep receiving the same amount. And the rest that the national office needs and the station don't produce, the rest, we divide the expenses between all the units.
Okay.
As always.
Thank you.
Can I ask
Bill
a follow-up then?
Michael, to the stack.
Serene talked at great length about this, and I want to make sure we get the other side. But, you know, as I understand it, the NFC chair instructed that the motion could be back to the committee with a plan to replace the $300,000 in revenue to the national office that, you know, currently comes from SCA funds. And that was never brought back to the committee. So I don't understand why this is the kind of stuff that should be talked about at the committee level, not at the PNB. And I'd rather, you know, send this back to the committee so that they can deliberate this, go get the information that they needed, as you were saying, Tony, to get the figures, whatever you need to review, and then come back with a recommendation to the PNB, because we don't have time to go over all this here. And by the way, we're 25 minutes over the time, as I understand it, for the open session. So... we're not going to have any time for the executive session at this rate because it's supposed to end in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we'll go.
So I move that we refer this back to the National Finance Committee.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Adriana, what's your point of order?
Don't we have all the same rights to speak? Because Michael is asking for the floor from before. Can we let Michael make his question or whatever he wants to? Can we give him the floor?
Okay, Bill, you wouldn't have a problem listening to Michael, and then we'll come to your motion, would you?
Okay, thank you.
I have a point of order as well, Chair.
Venetia, what's your point of order?
I believe that a motion is already on the floor. Isn't that what we're discussing?
Yes, there's a motion on the floor, but he wants to move to refer it. He can do that. That's not inconsistent with that.
Okay.
We're going to hear from Michael, and then we're going to go back to that. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, the idea of the motion is that it's revenue neutral. It's not that it's taking money away. So I just want to clarify that again. Right now, the central service payments are set on the basis that the national office has certain income from other sources, and one of those other sources is the SCA payments, as well as the any fundraising it does on its own, the payments from the affiliates and so on. And then we look at what remains to be revenue that's needed to meet the expenses. We did this about 3 years ago to try to reduce the central service payments to the stations. if we define the SCA payments as a credit towards station central services, the overall amount of central services will have to increase by that amount. The difference is that the credit would go to the individual stations generating it, and it would be a credit against a larger central service obligation. So the impact will vary from station to station. The station that has no SCA or has very small SCA credits would actually have to pay more in central services. A station that has substantial SCA credit, that credit would offset the higher central service payments. But in terms of the revenue to the national office, it's designed to be a revenue neutral measure, assuming the stations pay their central service obligations.
Okay. Yeah, Bill, we're back to you, and what's your motion?
Well, it just seems like we need the committee needs to discuss this more, and it seems like they never got the plan or never came. We had time to prepare a plan to replace the lost revenue. And as Michael was just saying, it would require adjusting all the central services payments due from the stations up. So you're not really, I mean, it's sort of a waste of time. You're not really generating more money, and you still have to fund this national office. So it's just, you're just shuffling the money around from one pocket to the other. And I don't see how this accomplishes anything. So I still think it's more appropriate to refer it back to the National Finance Committee so they can come up with an overall motion that addresses the revenue for the national office as well as whatever you want to do with the SCA revenue for each station.
Well,
so my motion is to refer it to the National Finance Committee.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
First of all, is there a second to that? And then we'll get to...
This is Grace. I second it.
Yes, Adriana, what's your point of order?
I think that Bill already talked on the issue. What we need is his motion in writing, right?
Yeah, Bill, you going to submit that in writing?
Okay, I move to refer it to the National Finance
Committee.
I'll write it down.
I'm taking notes. I'm sorry.
But we do have a standing rule that all motions be in writing. If you can get that in writing, Bill. Okay, we now go to the debate on the motion to refer to the Finance Committee. Anyone wants to speak to this?
Yes.
I do. Alexander, KPFK.
Yeah, Alexander. And who else?
Serene.
And then Serene. All right. Jonathan.
Michael.
And then Michael. Jonathan.
Okay, I'm not necessarily against this motion, but I would kind of like to have it go back to the Finance Committee because I don't know if we've had any input from our interim controller, Ephraim. Just, again, the financial impact, if any, either way, would just be good to hear, get input from him on this. Thanks.
Yeah, Serene.
Okay, thanks. It's important that we deal with this motion, not just because it's been on the PNB agenda since 2013, but because we need to put a formula in place now. So we haven't approved any budgets. This is the time at which you would want to do that. It doesn't take effect immediately. It takes effect on, it would, if the motion is approved as it is, it would take effect on January 1st, so it would take effect with the second quarter. The intention, I mean, it's like, okay, if we're in a two-bedroom apartment, and, you know, currently my roommate and I split the cost, so we're each responsible for $850 every month, and we take in someone from, Airbnb, and that generates $300, but I give up my bedroom for the Airbnb guest, then no, we're not going to just say, oh, well, we got 300, the rent is 17, so of the 14, we'll each
point
pay 7. Because I'm the... Why are you speaking?
Point of order, Bill.
The motion is to refer, so the debate should be about whether we're going to refer this back to the FC.
Well, since I haven't finished, I don't understand how he can determine that.
But everybody, I think she was giving an example, and I think she was speaking to refer, and she's just getting there, as I understand what she's doing.
So,
yeah, Serena, you want to finish?
I would get credit because I'm the person who's giving up my bed for the $300 that's being generated. And my contribution that month would be $550. It's the same situation here. Some stations are generating money that's going into the foundation. It doesn't offset everybody's bill. It should offset the bill of the person or the station that's generating that. And at some point, you know, for all the people who talk about transparency, when are we going to start making it clear where that money that goes into national really comes from? I think this is when we do it, before we approve a set of budgets, which is what we'll be doing, I think, next week. We have a special meeting or something, or is it 2 weeks? We need to put this policy in place. It's only fair. All people are asking is give us credit for the money that we generate. I don't think it needs to go through three levels in order for that to happen.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
What's your question, Adriana?
I want to know how long we have in this, because this was 20-minute discussion, and I believe that we already passed the 20 minutes.
We have about two minutes left, a little bit under.
Okay, thank you.
I think we're 33 minutes past the adjournment time.
I don't know where that came from, but...
Let's get Michael. I think Michael was on the stack.
Yeah, briefly, I think it would be helpful to all the stations and the national office and the NFC if we reach a conclusion about this, because it would be guidance for developing the budget and determining what the central service obligations are and how they will be met by the different stations.
Okay. I think that might put us out of time. And we're going to go first vote on the motion to refer to the Finance Committee and then vote on the original motion. Everybody understand what we're voting on? Serene, Adriana, you all want to call the roll on the vote?
Yes.
Adriana?
Bill Crozier?
Yes, to refer.
Grace Adam?
Yes.
Vinicia Patelada?
No.
Serene Roberts?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Semba? Sorry. Uhuru?
No.
Thank you. Jonathan Alexander?
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
No.
No. Wesley Bethune? I'm sorry, I already asked you. Tony Norman?
I'll wait till then.
Okay. Adriana, I vote no. I vote no, yes. Let me see one, two.
Jim.
Jim?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Jim Brown?
Yes. I vote no.
Thank you.
Ron Pinchback is also here.
Ron Pinchback, do you want to vote?
Yes, no.
Thank you. I'm trying to see if I forget. Oh, Bill, you took, yeah. Did I forget anybody?
No.
The vote is 8 no's, 3 yes, 8 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Well, first, I assume that if Thea is not on the call and all the other, nobody else is on the call.
Exactly.
Okay. And Nancy is not on the call. Margie.
Tony.
Yes.
Do you wish to
vote? I want to make sure that everybody is there. Is there anybody else on the call before we go? I don't want to exclude
anybody. Just ask.
Okay. Chair's not voting.
Chair not voting. Motion failed. Do you want me to go to the main motion?
Okay, we're now on the main motion. Yes.
Okay.
Serene, please. Sorry. Can anybody hear me?
Okay, Serene.
Yeah, it's just amended so that every place you see sidebands, it now says subcarrier. So other than that, the language hasn't changed.
Okay. Bill Grosser?
Well, is there any more time for discussion on this? It seems like we're
ignoring
the time limit.
We are not.
We're too out of time on it.
Well, just to make sure everybody understands, it's going to require increasing central services from all the
stations. Mr. Chair, can you tell the member that he already doesn't have the floor and that you give it to him?
Okay. We're voting now.
I vote no.
How do you vote?
No.
No.
Thank you. Grace Shannon?
No.
No.
Thank you. Vinicia Patel Adams?
Yes. Yes.
Celine Roberts?
Yes.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Simba? Cool Radio?
Yes.
Thank you. Jonathan Alexander?
Abstain.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
Yes.
Ron Pinchback?
Yeah.
Adriana, vote yes. Let's see. Is anybody in the call that I didn't call? No. They vote, Mr. Chair. We have 8 yes, 2 no's, 1 abstention. Do you wish to vote?
Yeah, abstain.
Abstain? Okay, yeah. Thank you. The motion passed 8 yes, 2 no, 2 abstentions.
Okay, we're out of time. That concludes our meeting. I assume, Adriana, you're going to send out the number for the closed session.
Just a point of something, Tony.
I'm sending it right now.
Will John be joining us on the closed session, because I do have a question. It's a closed session question for him.
Don, can you join us on the closed session?
Sure, if you bring me in.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, and Adriana, also the notes, I guess you're going to send them to Janet. We want to make sure we got all the votes right and everything.
Exactly.
In order?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you all for your service. We're now going to closed session. Thank you. Okay.